Welcome to the Wager Makers Podcast with Webb and Schmidt.
Brick by brick, baby. I'm freaking out, Webb.
I'm sure there'd be no man. Stupidity's going to be an asset.
What a bunch of crybabies.
Hello, my name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Webb.
What's happening, Smith? Hello.
I'm Smit, that's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Maker Podcast. I want to welcome everybody. We are on Wager Maker Podcast number 11 now. You can listen to us now, brand new, Webb. iHeartRadio, let me know today. We're on iHeartRadio. We're also on YouTube, Google Play Music, Podbeam, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you'd find a podcast, we can be on it. We're going worldwide, Webb. We got listeners now in Canada, United States, and also we have some Australia people out there listening. So those guys out in Australia, I think Marty Johnson's friends, she recommended checking them out. The guys that sit out there in Australia, Webb, they bet on American football. So now they're listening to us and checking us out.
We're international, so. Baby. iHeart Wager Makers podcast radio. International, baby.
Worldwide.
Before we forget, the YouTube, make sure you click the thumbs up button to like, make sure you subscribe, and then also hit the bell and make sure your notifications are on. Devin just made sure I let us know, make sure everybody subscribes to the YouTube page.
That's right. That's straight from the kids themselves. Look, we're new at this. We told you about that. We're podcasting. We're pretty new at this. It's pretty obvious probably when you check out the technical stuff that we're doing here. Not very technical anyway. So anyway, Webb, let's get right into it, man. We had a rough weekend. We had a rough day in college, rough day in pro, first week of the season. I'm all excited. We got we did crappy in college football Saturday. I thought, okay, man, we're not doing too hot. You know, we'll get them back. Sunday was going good early. I think at one point for the early games, I said, well, man, we're looking at probably 3-1 at worst if we hold on to a couple games. Well, that flipped. We went 1-3 on our early games, lost a couple
New York
late.
Jets. Yep.
So
we got Jets.
There.
Same old Jets.
Oh, the Jets. The Jets-Bills game, that looked like that could have been any Jets-Bills game now in the last 11 years could have been the same.
Even
it would
longer.
Have been the same game. No offense. Yeah, exactly. No offense, turnovers, opportunities squandered, everything. We had the Jets in the over, and that was a dumbass pick. So
yeah, it was. Never again. My buddy Nick Perrone and our boy Polish, too, are going to be mad at us. But no more Jets.
No more
Jets. We learned our lesson.
J-E-T-S, sucks.
That's right.
So then I go in Monday. I'm already cranky, right? I'm already pissed off, Webb.
Here we go.
We got to, you know, I'm like, man, these picks suck. But, you know, we got the Saints Monday night at home. We like the Broncos after. I mean, got the doubleheader on Monday night. So I go into the Dome. Man, I'm feisty. I'm ready to go. And the Saints fans, they're pissing me off. They're pissing me off again, Webb. We got some Saints fans in referee wear, you know, at the game. I talked to you about that already. I don't want to get too much into that. Some of them are my friends. I had from friends in the referee uniforms, so at the games. And but the Saints come out. The Saints come out and halftime. It's 14-3 to losing. They play like crap. They move down the field. Drew Brees throws the interception down there. I got Saints fans. Listen. Before I go any further, I want to give a couple little tips. We're going to give a couple little tips about how to go to football games, okay?
Teach them.
This is going to help you, and it's going to help me. It's going to calm my frustration down. There's 70,000 people. Obviously, I'm not going to get along with all 70,000 people at the game. It's impossible, all right? But we're all on the same side for the most part. Okay, so the Saints chant goes like this, Webb. It goes, who dat, who dat, who dat say they're going to beat them Saints? Now, yep. What that means in Cajun terminology is who says they are going to beat the Saints, okay?
Right.
That's fine.
Break it down.
Yeah,
Plain
I'm
English.
breaking it down, okay? Then we got some dumbass Saints fans. I noticed a few years ago they started adding this on to the end, saying, we dat.
How can you do that? You can't change the national
It's like
anthem.
Saying I want to fuck myself. I want to fuck myself. Right. Who dat say they're going to beat them Saints? Like the other team should say we dat. Like the Texans should have been saying we dat. Like we dat are the team that's going to beat those Saints. That's what they should be saying. So I got the fans, I got guys sitting next to me in referee uniforms. I got
ask you a question. Is the same guys wearing a referee's uniform messing up the song?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
So you got two problems then.
Right. I got 99 problems and the bitch ain't one. That's what I got. So it was 14-3. I got referees sitting all around me. I got Weed Ats gonna beat the Saints ass, even though it's my own team. So I'm trying to, it's 14-3, it's halftime. I'm trying to like, do like a Facebook Live. I'm kind of new at this shit. So I'm trying to do Facebook Live, like, and give like a update on the game and put my face on the camera and shit. And no. I see how fat and ugly I am on the camera. So I'm like pissed off again. I couldn't get a Wi-Fi connection in the game. So, man, oh, shit. So it was a tough game. It was a tough game. Obviously,
it was.
We had the Saints. We had the Saints laying the 7 points. Some people had
we
six
had
and
it,
a half.
Sure.
Some people had seven.
We had it.
I'm happy they won. I'm a huge Saints fan. Obviously, I'm thrilled they won. You know, just like the Tigers this week had a big, huge game. They looked great against Texas. We had the home dog in that one. Didn't turn out good. If we make one more tackle, we come up with the win in that one. We're getting us the
half point killed
yeah,
us there.
Yeah. Well, when they scored a touchdown, they go for two to make it an even seven. If they just make the tackle right there, I think at that point the Tigers take a knee and we get the cover. Everybody's
sure.
happy. LSU right. wins. Yep. LSU wins. We get the cover. They almost even got the onside kick at the end. And LSU really wasn't stopping Texas at that point. I thought maybe there'd be a chance we get a little backdoor cover at the end. But congratulations. I think, man, LSU, you heard it here a few weeks ago. I mentioned 25-1 for the national championship. Might not be that far out of the question.
Oh, yeah, you're looking at this point. You'll be in the playoff. I mean, they're talking. There's a big article on that kid Burrow on ESPN. I look at it on the app, so I'm on ESPN.com. But a good article about him. He started at Ohio State. I didn't realize that till today.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer brought him in. Tom Herman, the head coach of Texas, actually recruited him. He was the OC, I think, for Urban Meyer at Ohio State. And then brought him in, and then I think he broke his wrist or something, and he lost to one of those quarterbacks they had, so he ended up transferring down there. So it worked out well for him.
Right, he came in right during training camp last year, almost, or right before, and really took over that starting job. Really played well last year. The Saints, their new offensive coordinator, they call him a passing coordinator, actually came from Sean Payton's staff, and he's new this year.
That's right.
Added addition to their offense, and so I think the offense is a lot more dynamic this year. Man, they really look good. Burrow is a tough, tough kid. He can run, he can throw it. He's a smart guy. It's the first time in a long time I think LSU's had a quarterback that can really do some things. I mean, you know, obviously it's a stretch to say, oh, Alabama better watch out. But I tell you what, I don't think LSU will be an underdog in any game up until that point. So if they just handle their business, you never know what can happen. And even
sure.
one loss SEC team to Alabama, I think usually has a good chance to make it to the playoff. But that's not to say they would lose to Alabama. I think they got Florida at home. They got Auburn at home. The big road game, you know, obviously this test at Texas was a big, big test. But they go into Alabama later on in the season. So we just keep going. Another thing about the stadium, we got that decibel meter. That's a crock of shit. They showed a decibel meter, right? It's way 110, 115. So it's I think it's just a ploy, Webb. I don't think it's
right,
an actual.
Yeah,
I don't think it's an actual decibel.
I don't think it's an actual decibel meter.
Right. I think it's a ploy.
You don't think so?
I'm on to these bastards. I'm on to them. I don't think it's
conspiracy.
An actual. Yeah, I don't think they're just trying to get me pumped up. I come in. That's why we had to wait a couple days. I was so fired up Monday and Tuesday. We're like, Webb, listen, let's do a show Wednesday. We'll do once a week. We'll get it together and, we'll have one show this week. We'll make sure we get all the information in. I'm too fired up. I was too.
Well, you guys reach out to, let us know what you think. You guys prefer one big show or maybe two, we could do a college and pro show and sprinkle in some MLB stuff and whatever topical sports news comes in. You guys let us know of what you think. We're going to do a nice big one here for you today. And then we could switch it up depending on the audience.
Yeah,
response.
Absolutely. Please let us know. Remember, the Wager Makers podcast on Facebook, at the Wager Makers on Twitter, and at the Wager Makers on Instagram. Also, you can email us at thewagermakers@gmail.com. So let's move on a little bit.
I think they know how to get in touch with us, Mitch. Just judging from some of the backlash, the wrath of the Saints fans.
Well, that's what we're going to get into next. We're going to get into some of your predictions.
Here we go.
I'm going to ask you. Listen. You're my boy. We're brothers for life.
That's right.
Your picks have been sucking, Webb. The picks have been sucking.
Any in particular?
I'll go down a list. We'll go down a list.
Okay.
We can start with
you. That's okay.
Right. We can start with the Super Bowl.
I got some retort, though.
You can retort all you want. I'm telling you right now, the picks are sucking. And I don't know. Like, we didn't talk a lot about going into this thing. about how this is going to go. I don't know how it turned out. We're like, I'm kind of like an MC and you're like the expert guy.
But, that's what this is?
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. And I've been kind of like when we kind of disagree, I kind of back down. Okay, well, Webb likes this
really?
Team.
You acquiesce? Okay.
Yes, I acquiesce. I don't, if that means back down, yes, that's what I'm doing. And there's been some things. Okay, so I'll just go down a list. We got a couple.
All right, okay. Go ahead. Do that.
We'll start with the Falcons. How was the Super Bowl? According to you, did the Super Bowl contenders this year? We had a lot of shit. My boy Chad Arnold. I got a T-shirt and a hat coming out to you for all the feedback you've been giving Webb about this. Also Becky Bright.
Well, anyone who's given me any talking any smack cannot wear a referee jersey. Let's make that completely clear.
None of them had referee jerseys.
Okay.
None of those people.
Okay. Just making sure.
No, these are not referee people. These are not referee jersey people. These are people legitimate. Hey, listen, your
Fair
team
enough.
Got smoked
Fair
by
enough.
30 points at the opening day.
Yeah.
They got smoked by 30 points opening day. You still like the foul? You still like even Chad Arnold mentioned that he would give you a mulligan on this. I don't take mulligans even in golf. I'm not taking
it. I appreciate that. I can't go back. It's out there. It's on tape. You can't. I can't pull it back. This is a big week for the Falcons. They get smacked again. I'll be eating crow for the next till early January, obviously.
All right.
But I did have the Saints in there as one of my other guys. They were in there, my little handful.
Yeah, well, they barely squeaked out a win. They barely won at home opener.
How did the Steelers do?
Steelers lost, but they lost in New England. That happens to anybody. That could happen to anything. Happen to anybody. Yeah. They're going to bounce back this week. That's going to be one of my picks this week. My Dallas Cowboys pick looking pretty good. I got them in the Super Bowl. They look pretty good.
That's right. I got love for that. You know that.
All right. So, we're just going to talk about your shitty picks. What about your Cleveland Browns? You picked them early on. You're like, oh, man, this team's going to be good. They're up and coming. I said, man, I don't like Mayfield. He talks too much. And, man, they got smoked. Oh, they're another 30-point loser. They're another 30-point loser.
Yeah. Hey, it was tied going into fourth quarter. He threw three picks in the fourth quarter. 18 penalties. First time out. We'll give that. They'll take a mulligan. Let's see. They got the Jets this week. That's a win for the Browns.
Yeah,
Jets don't even have a kick. Jets can't put a ball through the upright. So Browns will be back on track.
43-13.
How about the under on Thursday last week? How about that? Not even close. You could have went to bed in the first quarter. That game was not even close.
Yeah, that was a good pick. We were about 3-7. You picked out something like that.
All right.
And I say we're together. Listen, let's get this straight. We're together.
Don't say exact numbers.
We're brothers. You're together. 3-7. I think it was 3-7.
I got to even smack myself on a couple of college games, man. I was way off. That Syracuse game was over 10 minutes, 5 minutes into the game. Maryland, I think they scored 6 times in a row. Touchdowns.
Terrible. Crap picks. Crap picks all over the board. We had the Bears. They sucked. We took points with the Steelers. They stunk. Broncos. They stunk. The Jets.
That was terrible. Yeah. Jets.
We laid off the Panthers. We talked about the Panthers in last week's show because it was -3, but it was 2.5 by the time the game time that we got. So we stayed away from that one, and they ended up being on 3. So it was a good thing we stayed away from that. We had the Saints. We had that over in the Cardinals game. Somehow that was a miracle.
We were overdue. We had Utah. We had Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn was a good pick. Iowa over Rutgers was a good one. And A&M. How about that A&M, boy? I thought things were going to change Saturday afternoon, Webb.
That's so disappointing.
The back door comes in, you know?
Jimbo
Fisher's calling timeouts with under a minute left on the 6-yard line to get the score in.
He didn't have any action.
That's a typical game that I would usually be on Clemson's side on that one.
Every time.
Go the other way. The coach is calling timeouts for no reason, just to score, just for the hell of it. But you could tell Clemson was trying to keep him out too, just as hard as
they were trying to score. Meaningless for they were balling out.
Right. Even Penn State came up with a big touchdown with us late.
Got a big one. The defense is for real.
So, So let's look at the hard facts, Webb. You ready for some hard facts?
Give it to me. I can take it.
We're on the sports watch monitor, right? We're on sports watch monitor, and so we're in two competitions. We're in the NFL competition, and we're in the college competition.
Okay.
So our record in the NFL is 3-7.
Nice.
We're 76th out of 80. 76. Handicaps. Out of 80 handicaps after week one. All right. Our college lines are 9-13.
Okay.
All right. We're 80th out of 83. 80th out of 83 in that. So here's the deal, Webb.
So like,
we're basically the Tennessee Volunteers right now. We're Florida State.
Yes. Right.
You know, if we got Taggart as our head coach, we may not fire Taggart yet, but we're changing offensive coordinators.
That's
we're
right.
Change up.
That's right.
For now on, if me and you disagree, I'm put my foot down on some shit because I like some shit this week, Webb.
Well, this is the week. We'll see then. You be the man this week. We'll see how we do.
All right. When in doubt,
we're going to go with Smith.
Yeah.
All right.
When in doubt, I say, when in doubt, we take some points. We need to start taking some points, start taking some home dogs, do the right thing, take against a team that's been traveling a lot, man. Get the good shit going on. The shit
all right.
That we know.
We'll go back to basics, blocking and tackling, gambling 101.
Right. Oh, how about that Michigan Army last week, man? You were a true patriot. You said, man, you like Army because you're a patriot.
Yeah, that's it. That's me, man. USA, baby.
That was sweet. That was good game.
I was rooting against him, man. I couldn't. I don't know what Harbaugh's got. Harbaugh's got to have some crazy buyout because he can't get it done. That they should have lost. That kid, I felt bad for him. He threw a bad pick right at the goal line at the end of the first half. And that would have changed the rest of the game. So that was rooting for them right down to the double OT. Unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Right. Crazy game. Yeah, Michigan's got to get their shit together. You mentioned earlier in the season, you know, if Harbaugh doesn't get it done this year, you know, when will he ever? You know, Ohio State's got kind of in transition.
This is the year. Yep. This is the year. And Shea Patterson's been there. I think this is his third year there. Yeah, Michigan, you know, they don't really recruit. They kind of replenish like most of these guys, especially Harbaugh's name carries its own weight based on his NFL success. So I was talking to somebody today. They've never beaten Notre Dame, I don't think, since he's been there either.
Unbelievable.
Another mind-boggling thing. And then he hasn't won a bowl game. So I don't know, you know, what's he supposed to – how can you lose the job? You don't beat Ohio State, you don't beat Notre Dame, you don't win a bowl game. You know, that's a pretty shitty trifecta right there. He's like making picks for us.
No doubt. to move on, we talk about diva wide receivers. We're not even going to get into Antonio Brown's taking a crazy turn here. We're not even going to get into that. But we'd like to keep things lighthearted. What about your boy Odell Beckham Jr.? He's
my boy.
He's
anywhere. Wear...
hey, he's in the Browns. For now on,
anybody.
He's under Browns.
Yeah. All right, gotcha.
Yeah, you mentioned way back. Oh, I like Brian Sipe. I used to like Brian Sipe. I remember. I listen to the shows. You should try listening to shows sometimes. Yeah, you get this shit. You get the good information. Yeah, I like Brian. I used to like Brian Sipe fan shit. So OBJ's got to wear a $250,000 watch to the game, and they tell him, listen, you got to take it off. And he acts like, just another thing. You know, like just they putting me down again and shit. Like just take
and
off, the, just take off the damn watch.
Let me ask you a question. You played football, right?
Yeah.
Anybody ask you what time it was?
Never.
What's he got to wear a watch for? Hey, dude, you got the time? Yo, OBJ, what time is it, dude? What, seriously?
He's well, we all know why he's wearing a watch. He's
course,
wearing a watch to make some money.
Right, of course. But, you know, he just got paid, didn't he? It's unfair. And he goes, it's plastic.
Right.
So now you're going to tell him to pay $200,000 for a plastic watch. That's what you're telling me? Right?
Well, it's brown and orange. It's brown
and orange. It matches. Cool. Right. Right. He's not a rapper. He's a football player. So 10 other guys on the field. On
I mean, just
team.
Take the thing off. All right. You did it. You got away from it. Now they say something. Just take it off. Don't make it a thing, man. He's wide receivers, man. They'll piss a dude off.
And what I also found out this morning on the uniform violation guys, there's an ex-NFL player just looking for somebody. So his job is to kind of check everybody out before. So there's going to be some poor ex-NFL guy. Obviously, he wasn't a big name. Obviously, he wouldn't be doing this for some extra cash. He's like, hey, you know, Odell, do me a favor. Can you just take the watch off? He's like, no. So now this guy's going to say, okay, well, I got to fine you now.
Right. Yeah, they got every game. They check the guys. They check the guys' socks. They check their everything. That's a typical thing for the NFL every time.
Right.
You know, look, the NFL, they have contracts with – they might have contracts with Rolex or Timex, not this other watch company or whatever. Hell, it's the way
what
it
about,
works.
What if someone gets his finger caught in the fucking watch? I mean, are you kidding me? It's just – it's absurd. And that, for even – it's just always something like, look at me, look at me, look
at me. Exactly. And then when they say something to him, it's, oh, look, they're putting me down again. They keep trying to keep me down.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, Tom Brady doesn't wear a watch, so there you go.
Right.
If Brady doesn't do it, you don't need to do it.
Yeah. Well, Tom Brady's team won by 30 points this week because that's what he was worried about instead of worrying about his damn watch.
Exactly. He's worried
OBJ lost by 30, and he's worried about wearing his watch a week, too.
Making sure his watch looks good on. Yeah, exactly.
That's why shit doesn't matter on paper. Mayfield.
I tell you
shit.
What, man, they got we want to just that's a huge game Monday night. If that goes south, the Jets beat them pretty good. All that noise is gonna get real crazy. They're gonna come down on Kitchens can't coach. The inmates are running the asylum. There's too many personalities. That thing can spiral real quick, yep, in Cleveland.
Those guys can walk over a rookie coach real fast. There's a lot of personalities there.
Yep.
That's why they're there. If they weren't such personalities, they'd be at where they started out with. OBJ. True. He'd still be at the Giants.
Right.
You know, nobody questions their talent, but they're just head cases. And I have a feeling Mayfield's just right there in a bunch. Everybody likes him. Oh, he chugged a beer. In a press conference, he's like, oh, I know everybody will be trashing us after this game. That, trashing you? They've been in a love affair with you for 6 months, 8 months, 10 months. You're the toast of the town. You're the best thing since LeBron hit Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know? You got swag. He's got swagger. He's got moxie. Fuck. You got fuck swagger. Now you know what we got for swagger? They're the highest rated team, you know, viewing wise and everything. They're the hot shit team in the NFL. You know what that means to me, Webb? It means this Monday I got to watch the Jets and the Browns.
Yeah.
A team that hasn't been 500 in 20 years against the Jets, and that's what some Monday Night Football is, because they're the it team.
Yep. You called it. And that's not the only time either. You're going to see him again. And if they're 4-9, something like that, 2-6, it might be worth it just for the circus. But they got five primetime games.
Howard Cosell be rolling over in his grave, the Jets and the Browns.
That's right.
Da, 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 da. Monday Night Football. Da, da, da. Jets and the Browns. They suck for 30 years straight.
Entire life.
Yeah. But I do like the Browns this week. Let's get that.
It's more important. Yes. Well, first of all, I mean, one thing that struck me this week is I told my buddy Nick, his son's in college, Nick Perone, I'm like, go tell little Nick to start kicking balls through the uprights, because you can make a hell of a lot of money right now if you could kick a ball from 44 yards, you know, fairly straight. The Jets, the guy missed 4 points right there. I mean,
so the Browns, I think they cut him this week. They cut him this week already, didn't they? I think they got a new guy in.
So the Browns are laying 2.5. So that means really the Browns, you take 4 points from now the Browns are getting 1.5. You can't kick a point. And now what do you do next time? You got to go for two. Now if you don't get it, you're going to back it down. So it's I like the Browns. The Browns are going to get that done on Monday night, I think. 2.5.
I agree. Any other big things that stood out to you this week in the NFL or college you want to talk about offhand, or particular games?
I don't know what – I mean, I think that was one of the biggest take – maybe how bad the Dolphins are and how they're trying to backpedal on not tanking, and how you can't tank in the NFL. It's a lot different than tanking in the NBA, I think. Just you're going to get literally punched in your mouth and run over. So it's difficult. I kind of feel for some of those players about what's going on down there. I'm not sure, you know, what kind of product they think they're putting on the field. But that's another thing that can get kind of out of control real quickly. Just to parlay right into the spread, what you said, I get 19 points I got here on Sunday. The Pats coming to town. What'd you say that was, the highest spread home dog in how long?
I think it's I saw a thing today say the highest home dog since 2007. And I'm not sure what game that was.
So we're looking 12 years.
But
And yeah. I tell you what, how many points you think the Dolphins are going to score?
Zero.
I think laying 19 is a decent bet. I mean, I don't know. This may be a perfect opportunity for, I think Stidham is the backup, the rookie, right, from Auburn. I mean, you may see him early third quarter just to get him some live game snaps. And I mean, they're going to score 30, 35 points blindfolded, the Patriots. Antonio Brown is practicing. I guess at this point he would play. I'm sure they're going to try to get him integrated into the offense, at least take some shots with him. And just based on the talent of the Dolphins, he's going to score. So, you know, it's crazy how, you know, that's a legitimate 19 points, and it's probably not going to be enough to cover.
Right. That's, I mean, you can't take the Dolphins.
No.
You know, you can lay away from it if you want to, just because it's a ridiculous number. But, I mean, you can't take the Dolphins. You certainly can't take the Dolphins. Put it that way.
Nope.
So. All right, well, let's get right into the college week this week, I guess, if we want to get into picks. There was some other big games. I guess, man, the Redskins came out smoking, looked like. They got out to a 17-0 lead.
Yeah, they pissed me off.
You know, this is another one I mentioned. If I don't mistake, last week I mentioned the NFC East. There was a lot of points for that one.
Yep.
they can't.
9.5 by the time it was all said and done.
Yep. But give credit to the Eagles. They got their shits together and came back on them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to give credit to the Eagles or just say that I'm going to put the blame on the Redskins on that one. I'm not giving the Eagles too much credit on that. Just, you know, DeSean Jackson on a 9 route, and he hangs it. That's it. Just runs past Norman every time.
Well, I tell you, of all the week, I mean, the Cowboys look as good, you know, as good as the Patriots look, the Cowboys look pretty darn good this week. I thought it was funny to see Jason Witten catch a touchdown pass, too.
Yeah, man.
You know, hung it up for a few years, and then he's back at it.
Yeah, 1 year. I mean, that's as good. Prescott had a perfect 153.8 is the perfect quarterback QBR, and he had that. I don't know if that was a function of the Giants secondary just being and, you know, defense being that shitty, but Prescott looked real good, man, looking receivers off. He had some guys running wide open. Randall Cobb was naked across the middle, but he did drop that dime to Amari Cooper on that third down. That was big, and he hit the other tight end across the middle. He was wide open too, but he's looking off the safety. The progression that Prescott's showing is impressive, and that's if you're not a Cowboy fan, that's got to be a little bit scary. But the defense, they got gashed in the middle again, just like they did at that Rams game last year, last game of the season. So that's a little concerning. We got to get someone to plug up that middle. So that's as a Cowboys fan, that's what you're looking for. You want to, you know, Redskins got a decent defense. You got to make sure that Prescott does the same type of things he did, get Zeke going, and then stop the run big time.
Right. One of the teams that looked really good was one of the games we did. We were all over last week. The Ravens and the Dolphins. The Ravens really looked good. We knew, and we mentioned it that the Dolphins were almost given up already before the season started. And we were all over the Ravens last week. And man, they looked good. Obviously, time will tell how bad the Dolphins are and how much of that was part of that. But man, certainly the Ravens looked really good.
They were impressive. And again, that Lamar Jackson, if anyone looked as good, as good as the Patriots and the Cowboys looked, the Ravens were right there. Lamar Jackson looked incredible as well. Again, I'm not sure, you know, how much of that was just a function of the, you know, the piss poor talent that the Dolphins have, but we'll find out. This is why it even makes this game for the Browns even that much more important, because Arizona is coming into to Baltimore this week, so Baltimore's going to be 2-0. And Cleveland goes to 0-2. Same thing with the Steelers. Got Seattle coming in. I'm not trying to jump around too much, but if these teams go 0-2, now you're not winning the division. Now, so you got to beat that team twice. You'd have to beat, you know, the Ravens twice to kind of even get in the division conversation. So it's a big week. A lot of teams with a big week this week.
Yeah, you know, going 0-2, you know, the numbers stand for themselves. When teams go 0-2, their chances of making playoffs compared to 2-0 and stuff like that, it's drastic. So one of the games that I was kind of surprised by was Seattle and Cincinnati. I thought Cincinnati played Seattle very well. In fact, I took the Seahawks. I know we're in a really big one of those survivor pools, so I wanted to get your thoughts on that. I took the Seahawks. Man, they barely squeaked it out last week, so I was pretty nervous. We're in a big one, and it looks like about 10% of the pool got knocked out this week. A lot of people had the Browns, a few had the Jets, but the number one pick on the board was the Seahawks. And so they just squared it out. If that would have gone out, about 40% of the pool would have not made it through week one.
Yeah, I mean, that was a game I just kind of had penciled in. I thought it was going to be a no-brainer. I had two entries in the pool. So I had I had the Ravens, which was easy, and then I had Seattle. I thought that was going to be an easy one too. But yeah, that was a nail biter down to the end. I guess their defense isn't what it was, particularly their secondary. Is what I was reading. I didn't see too much of the game. I was running around for soccer for a little one, but I don't know. And especially after the big trade they made, they came. It looked like geniuses kind of fleecing Houston in the Clowney deal. And then to have, the red fire truck back there, the Red Bull, Andy Dalton lighting them up, it was surprising. But, you know, again, we got out of there. We'll move on to the next with that pool. It's nothing worse than getting knocked out of the first week in those suicide pools.
It's happened. I've had it happen.
More than once.
So, let's just talk a little bit about your strategy for the suicide type pool. Yeah. Like so you got that New England game is on the board. This week, are you a guy that likes to, I know what my philosophy is. Are you a guy that likes to, you know, take the obvious number one team, or are you looking more down the road and saving teams, or how do you usually feel about that?
My personal preference is take the layup every time, just take the win. I mean, I ran one of these for a number of years. So I've had all kinds, some people go for it, you know, week one and take some, you know, kind of off the wall, you know, team. And if they win, it usually bodes well for them until mid season type thing. If you go the safe route, I think you're probably better off. There are those outliers. I've had a couple times. I think the Patriots knocked me out week one, honestly. But I think if you do more than one pick in something like this, you're better off taking the layup. Like this week, I'm going with New England and then Baltimore again, and the opposite of what I took Baltimore last week. I don't see either of those teams leaving. I just want to keep surviving and moving on. I guess obviously that's the name of the game, but I don't see any reason to take a risk, especially early on.
Yeah, I agree. I go with the same thing. One thing I almost always do is also not take a road team.
Yeah, right.
Until I have to. But this week is a little different, I think, with New England favored by so much. And that's another thing, too, you want to look at. If you know the Dolphins are this bad, you know, probably most likely they're going to win one eventually. But I don't know. This team's pretty bad. We'll see how it turns out. But that's something you want to look for all the time. But I always go, like you say, with the layup. And I always feel like later down the road, I'll find a team to win.
Right.
When I run out of teams, I'll find somebody that can win a game, you know. So
I'll make those hard decisions when I have to. And right. I, with the Dolphins, that's a great point. I mean, I'm sure we're going to start seeing the props pop up if they're going to go 0-16. I mean, especially if this week, if the Patriots hang another five, you know, a 550 number on them. I mean, that's, I don't know how they're going to be coached, how you're going to be able to coach. There's going to be no one at the game. It's hard enough to get them into it down there. Anyway, I've been to a couple of Cowboy games, first Dolphins, and we did everything we could to get the fans riled up at us. And it just, you know, it just didn't work. So they had no hope coming in. And now, you know, even having all that, their poor hopes coming to fruition, it's going to make it even worse and harder for the players to play and even to be coached. So that could be a real ugly situation, even early October.
All right. So that's kind of our takes, I guess, on week one in NFL.
So who are you taking? Who are you taking this week?
I'm taking New England. I'm going with the layup, like you said. I agree with that philosophy 100%. Although I do like to be taking home teams. But in this case, this seems different. So
I agree.
All right, so let's move right along. Let's start getting into some picks for next week. I'm excited because we had a rough couple weeks here. Obviously, it's early in the season, but you don't want to get too far behind in these competitions we're in. And I see a lot of games that intrigue me this week that I think we might have a chance to get some going.
All right,
we got Thursday. Now this is one game that I'm not feeling real confident about. The Thursday night NFL game. We got the Buccaneers traveling to the Panthers. What do you think about that?
This is like I mentioned, a couple teams with a lot to at stake this week, even though it's only week two. And I think Carolina is one of those teams. If they lose to the Buccaneers this season, it's obviously not anything close to what they thought it would be. I like them minus six and a half here. I think Winston is a turnover machine. Disappointing. I thought he was going to be good. I think we talked about it earlier on. I thought Jameis could kind of channel his inner stupidity and Arians could kind of reel him in and get him going. But obviously it doesn't seem he's scoring more points for the other team than he is for his own team. McCaffrey's obviously a baller. I think it's going to be an easier game. This could be a get right game for Carolina. They should be able to beat them by a touchdown. I'm also thinking maybe under 49, based on Arians just handing the ball off, telling Jameis just to turn around and hand it off to they had that rookie running back who had a pretty good game last week. And Carolina's run defense wasn't as stout as it was. It was against the Rams, obviously. But I think I do like the under a bit. And then even more than that, I do like Carolina to cover that win by seven.
Okay. I don't have any big feeling on that one, so we'll go with the Carolina and the under. Thursday night. I do like a couple games in college football on Friday night. There's a three-pack of college football games on Friday night. So let's look real quick. We got I like Boston College. I think Kansas.
Dude, every time you love Boston College. You know someone from Freehold whose son's in Boston. So every week we got to take Boston College. That's how.
I believe they're 2-0 against the spread, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, let's check. But
I'm taking them mostly about Kansas. They're laying three touchdowns to Kansas. Kansas is awful. The Mad Hatter, Les Miles, came in, and they're excited about it. That's basically his retirement plan. He was never a good game day coach. He's a pretty good, he's a very good recruiter when he was at LSU. But at Kansas, you can only do so much of that, and I'm sure he hasn't done it in the last year. Enough to make up for this. I think Boston College. I think Boston College is a good team, and Kansas has struggled against two nobodies, CCU and Indiana State. You know, they won by 7 in the opener. They lost 12-7 to CCU.
7 points at home. Yeah, Les Miles. Yeah, I mean, that's I hear. He's been around Les, the Mad Hatter. He does turn programs around. He doesn't really get them over that hump. And I would expect he would get Kansas better than maybe they've ever been. But I do agree with you. I like Boston College. Kansas, obviously, 7 points at home. They're not going to get this done today. I think BC does win and cover this one too. I do agree with you on this one.
All right, so we can go with BC. Just because I know somebody on the team doesn't mean anything. But they are 2-0 this year. I think they're looking good. They had not too many teams at this point have even had a real game yet. They had a real good test against Virginia Tech, and looked good in the first week of the season. I think I like them going on. Go ahead.
That's a good point. Yeah, Kansas hasn't played anybody either, so that's a good point too.
Right. And this will be the first road game for Kansas as well. Also looking at Washington State. Goes to it's actually I think a it's going to be in Houston.
Definitely a neutral site. Where are they playing?
It's a neutral site, but it's in Houston.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You know, so it's going to be basically a home game for Houston. Houston really, once they got past that first quarter against Oklahoma, they went toe to toe with them. They got a young quarterback, King. This guy's really dynamic. He can really get the ball around. These guys are underdogs by about 9 points. I think I like Houston in the home dog on this against Washington State.
Yeah, we got 9 points here to total 74. I like Houston too. Dana Holmgren was the guy from West Virginia last year. I mean, West Virginia's shit in the bed too this year, so maybe he does kind of know what he's doing. He's a very good offensive coach. Defense has never been his thing, but Houston does seem to be getting, you know, some good athletes that, like you said, the quarterback King is good. I do like the 9 points with Houston too. I agree. So we're agreeing on a couple here. I do like Houston plus the 9. Washington State can score. I'm not sure how I feel about Mike Leach as a head coach. I don't think he's ever going to win big, but he does. This team's a top 25 team. Washington State, you know, it's probably looking at a, you know, whatever, a Big Six bowl or whatever they're calling it. But I think Houston keeps it close and keeps it within 9 for sure.
All right. And then there's one more game. I don't really have a big feeling about it one way or another. We've got Mack Brown's North Carolina. Tar Heels are 2-0, and they go to Wake Forest. We had Wake Forest was one of our winners last week. And what do you think about this one?
This is a tough game. I mean, Wake Forest, like you said, they won for us last week. And Carolina, it's riding pretty high. Mack Brown is back. They beat South Carolina week one, and I think they beat Miami last week. I would be surprised, I guess, if they would start the season 3-0. That's not to say that they're not going to win this game. Both of these teams, they do pump out pros. Or you see, you know, more than one pro coming from these guys, kind of lower level ACC teams. No real lean here. You know, I'd like to see Carolina get it done. If I had to bet this game, I'd take Wake Forest -3 just based off, you know, betting against Carolina going 3-0.
All right, we'll lay off that one. But we'll go Friday night. We got Boston College and Houston. Right into Saturday, we'll look at the top 25 real quick, and then we'll look at some games outside of top 25 that we like. Georgia is a huge favorite over Arkansas State. We got number 6 Ohio State goes into Indiana. That's kind of an interesting game. Ohio State's favored by about 6.5.
16.5.
Yeah, 16.5. I'm sorry. Both teams are 2-0.
I think Indiana could probably score a little bit. And Ohio State's defense, I was concerned after week one. I'm not so concerned now. This could be an opportunity here for Ohio State if they kind of put a hurting on air a little bit. This is a conference road game. Obviously, it is only Indiana. But if they can come out and win this game, you know, 25, 30 points, it's going to raise some eyebrows. They're going to be fighting for that third or fourth playoff spot, I believe. So I think Ohio State kind of puts the pedal to the metal here, does cover this game, does beat them decently. And they're not going to smoke them too bad. Maybe, you know, 24-point win, something like that. I like Ohio State.
All right, I'm going to mark them down for right now with a little question mark and see what happens. Cincinnati, I'll tell you, they really impressed me against Cincinnati last week. I thought that game was going to be a lot closer.
Yep.
So moving on, number 13, another early game, Penn State, the big interstate rival against Pittsburgh. Penn State's laying about 17.5 or so.
I got 17 here. I don't have too much of a lean on this. I think Penn State's defense is for real. If I had to take this game, I would take Penn State. But there's more out there, some lower hanging fruit, like we said.
Fair enough. Maryland goes to Temple. Temple's only had one game so far this year. Maryland really smoked Syracuse. We thought Syracuse was going to put up a better fight last week. They looked really good, but I think Temple's got a pretty tough defense, and they're getting a few points at home here. You got any feel on this one?
I don't. I mean, I was very surprised how easily Maryland moved the ball up and down the field and how good their defense played. I mean, they put an ass whooping on Syracuse. I'm going to wait a week on this. I know you kind of like Temple a little bit. Temple's only played one game. I do like that aspect of it, but I'm going to wait. I wouldn't be surprised if Maryland blows them out, but I'm going to wait on Maryland to see what happens here to figure out what I'm going to do, how I'm going to lean on them.
Okay, fair enough.
We got Tampa, Texas.
Yeah, what's Texas play Rice?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a shitty game, but I don't know. You know, Texas is going to be angry. I think Ellinger is going to light this. He's just going to blow. This is an opportunity for them here, too, to kind of get Ellinger into that Heisman race after kind of being outdoored a little bit by Burrow last week. Rice, I don't even know why this is another one. This is a neutral site game, too, I think. I don't know why this is an unnecessary game. I think it's just because, you know, they're in-state rivals type thing. Texas is going to smoke these guys. They're going to beat them real bad. Don't be afraid of the 32 here.
Man, Webb, this is
a couple
one of
guest
those
appearances
games.
Here. Jake and Lexi just stopped in to say hello.
Hey, Lexi. I don't know, Webb. This one, Rice, I've seen it happen before a lot of times when it's something I always kind of take note of when LSU and Alabama play each other. And I'm talking about the game the following week.
I understand.
A lot of times, I think Alabama comes out and they're favored by a lot of points the following week against somebody, and they just don't play as well. I think this game this past week took a lot out of these two teams, especially laying 31.5. I think it's a tough one. I think Texas is going to be really reeling after the physical game they went through last week, emotional game they went through last week. I would at least stay away from this. That was going to be one of the games that I was going to circle as a big dog to take. So I'll put that off to the side right now. We can talk about it later, or we can talk about it now if you want.
What you're saying, I agree with. I mean, a real physical game against obviously a extremely tough opponent. They got beat. So that's why Rice is just kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time. They're going to come out. They're not going to need an A plus, you know, even an A game to wax these guys. This is kind of almost a, you know, exercise the demons type thing. All this little frustration. They might start off a little slow, but once they kind of get in the groove, I think it's only they're going to do it almost by default.
Okay, fair enough. We'll leave that one on the board for right now. We'll see. This is one of those games I'm talking about earlier.
Listen, we can leave it off.
We'll see how many we end up with and see if we have to add anything. All right. Also, well, we got Notre Dame's favored by a gazillion points against New Mexico, 35. Alabama goes into South Carolina, Webb, 25.5 point favorites. You got any lean that way?
I don't. I read a story again about the quarterback freshman quarterback for South Carolina. I think he had some tragedy with his brother. So just off of that, I'm kind of rooting for South Carolina a little bit. I don't have a lean at all. I think, you know, apples to apples, it should not be close. Bama should cover. Again, I think they're going to be looking to put some distance and put some, you know, kind of stack up some ridiculously lopsided wins just for down the road when it comes time to make sure maybe they get one versus two in that in the seedings there. So
yeah, right. They catch a lot of heat. They catch a lot of heat from about the strength of schedule that they have, Alabama. So when they're finally playing an SEC team, if they get a chance to go up top on them big, I think they'll do it. But no real pick on this one. Yeah. But I do the next two games coming up. I do have strong feelings about Stanford goes into UCF. Stanford gets their quarterback this week. He was out with a concussion last week against USC, but they looked pretty bad. The quarterback doesn't play defense, and USC's backup quarterback had a really nice game against Stanford. UCF, I loved them last week. You kind of talked me down a little bit. They were laying 10 to Florida Atlantic. I really liked them last week, and you kind of said, well, I think that's a good line, so we stayed away from it, and they blew out Florida Atlantic. So I'm just hoping that I'm not a week late on this, and that UCF, I think this is just a really good team. I think they have too much athletes for Stanford. Stanford's making a long road trip after that tough game against USC last week. I like them big in this one, UCF.
I'm a UCF fan. I mean, obviously they do nothing but win, it seems like. This wouldn't be a game I would pick, but I'm going to go with you on this one. I think Stanford's decent, but they are traveling a long way. I think it's an early kick, too. So I'll go with you. I got no problem with UCF.
Okay, speaking of USC, They travel to BYU. This BYU team, they're just tough, Webb. They're always tough.
Yep.
You know, they play hard nosed. You know they're going to give it all the time. I mean, they were really kind of down and out against Tennessee. This is one of the losers that we had from last week. We had Tennessee. Tennessee is what we thought they were.
Right.
We kind of gave them and Florida State the benefit of the doubt. But I like BYU getting some points at home in this one. USC's playing, like I said, with their backup quarterback. He looked pretty good against Stanford the other week. BYU's coming off the big win, overtime win against Tennessee. And they played good, I thought, against Utah at home. I think this is going to be a tough place to play for USC this week.
I agree. I mean, BYU is tough. It seems like every game they play is tough, hard-nosed team. Since even back in the Lavelle Edwards days, when they had even the Detmer brothers and Steve Young was there. I think even the Bears quarterback, with Jim McMahon, was their quarterback. So they have long established history. Again, I don't know if I'd pick this one. The backup for USC, he's going to be good. I think he probably should have won the competition. But again, I don't mind taking +4 at home either. I'll go with you on this one. It's going to be your week, dude.
All right. Dig it. All right. We'll see how it turns out.
That's right.
So we got UCF laying a 7.5, and then BYU +4.5. Moving on, we got Arizona State goes to Michigan State. I remember this game distinctly last year because it was in Arizona State at night. It might have been a night game, and I'm pretty sure I had Michigan State, and they weren't favored by much, but they lost that game in Arizona State. They're favored by a couple touchdowns here at home, and I don't think they're going to overlook Arizona State this year, but we'll see what happens. What do you think about this one?
Fuck Michigan State, dude. They never cover for me. So I'm staying away. I'm not doing anything with them. They got a bad taste. I'm done with them.
Fair enough. It seems like when you stay away from them, they blow them out.
That's a guarantee. And then when you take them
in a spot like this, like laying 14 points, that's when they're like the old school, just play D and ground and pound and don't do anything and win by a field goal kind of shit. So I'm fine with staying away on that one. That's a pretty big number. I think they're probably a lot better than Arizona State, but like I said, Arizona State nipped them last year, but that was in Sun Devil Stadium last year. And so moving on, we got another in-state rivalry, Iowa and Iowa State. This is an interesting one. We had Iowa last night, and they rolled over Rutgers.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're legit, I think. This is a tough game. Iowa State had some this may be their year as well. This is a tough game at Iowa State. I think they're going to give this, the absolute best shot they have. I'm just going to stay away. 2.5 points. There's other stuff out there.
Fair enough. We move on. Auburn plays Kent State. They're favored by 35. Don't know if you have any lean on that one, but I do want to look at a total in this next game coming up. Florida goes to Kentucky. Florida's favored by 8.5. Kentucky lost their quarterback for the season last week, and the total in this one is 50.5. We've already seen Franks. We've seen the Florida defense. Kentucky usually plays pretty tough D, and I like the under in this game. You got any thoughts on that?
Under 50, I got here in 8 points. Florida, again, this is another team. I don't think that they're too good. They had that running back. He can be explosive, but I don't know if he's going to be explosive for 50 points. With Kentucky, the quarterback being out, I think that does affect them, especially this first week after that. They are at home, so that helps them, and they may want to try to slow it down a little bit. I initially was leaning Kentucky, but I just, again, this is your week, so let's just go under.
All right, under 50. Texas A&M by a ton of points against Lamar. Interesting game. Syracuse, I don't remember if they beat Clemson at home last time or if they just gave him a really tough game. Clemson goes after their first big matchup against Texas A&M, and they go on the road to the Carrier Dome there, and they're laying almost 4 touchdowns. You got any thoughts on this? We had Syracuse last week, and they looked pretty crappy, but I think they might bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're as bad as they look, and they're a much better team in the dome up there, but they are nowhere near. Their offensive line looked ridiculously bad. 28 points is the number. Saturday night game, this is a tough one, too. I don't know that, Clemson's schedule is so easy now. I don't know how they're going to get up for, too many of these games. Then again, they could probably beat them by 4 touchdowns left-handed. I'm just going to stay away from this one.
Fair enough. LSU's favored by Northwestern State by a whole lot of points, and then we have by 51. That's one of those games. It just depends on which team, how bad they want to run up the score or not. One game I thought interesting is Hawaii goes to Washington, and Hawaii's getting three touchdowns plus. Washington lost the game kind of weird last week against Cal. Had a rain delay, and man, it went all the way till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning before they started playing again. And they ended up losing to Cal, but it was just kind of weird. Hawaii's looked pretty good in their first couple games. You think you like anything on this?
I think it's a big number, 21.5 when I look at it. I like Washington. I mean, they have a very solid program. I like the coach. I thought they were going to be better. That was one of my big picks last week. I thought they were going to win that game easy against Cal. I'm staying away. If I had to, I'd go with the 21.5. But I'm not sure about Hawaii on the road either. So this is a game I'll just pass on this one. I'm going
to
punt.
Okay. Fair enough. That's Hawaii's first road game. You're right. So, you know, it's easy to look good at home. Sometimes I look for that a lot. Teams that play the first couple games at home and look real good and kind of go against them. But same thing with teams that play the first, and this goes for the NFL too, teams that play the first 2 weeks on the road and look pretty crappy, and then all of a sudden they got a home game, something to keep an eye out. This next game is one I love. Virginia, very underrated team. I think they're 2-0. They had a couple tough games so far. Let's see. They played Pitt early in the season, beat them pretty good, and then they had kind of a pansy game last week, but they're 2-0. Florida State, we've talked about that. They're crap. They lost to Boise State. Obviously, Boise State's a solid team. They won barely in overtime against Louisiana Monroe last week. We talked about that game last week, the Louisiana Monroe kids really would come to play, and Florida State barely squeaked that game out. I love Virginia laying a touchdown in this one.
I got 7.5 here. Yeah, I mean, this is, you don't need to convince me too much on this one either. I mean, Florida State, they can't beat anybody. And as for Virginia, another team, you see a bunch of pros coming from Virginia. Their quarterback is being talked about as a pro here at Virginia. And if you're a Virginia kid, a Virginia coach, Virginia student, this is a big game for you. You got this circled, 7:30 Saturday night, you know, party time all day, tailgates. So I think they're going to give an absolute home run swing at Florida State here, and kind of just even, you know, take some stuff out for beatings they've taken in the past against them. So, exactly. Yeah, I take Virginia minus the 7.5, sure.
Right.
I would buy it to 7 is what I would do.
There you
do.
Go. Keep it at 7 if you can.
Yep.
And, I was going to say that, you know, just teams that have a chance to put one on somebody that have been getting one put on them for years and years, you know, the schools, the programs, everything. This is their finally a chance they can really put one on Florida State. You know, they're going to take, they're going to jump all over that if they can.
They'll have some alumni on the sideline, and I mean that may even be an explanation why Virginia didn't actually, you know, smash somebody last week. You know, a lesser opponent, kind of looking past them for this week too. Again, this game was circled on their calendar, I'm sure.
Okay, so. Last couple games in the top 25, you got Portland. I don't have too much of a feel about this, but maybe you do. Portland State goes to Boise State, and Montana goes to Oregon.
No, there's no reason to tell. I mean, I'm a little disappointed in Oregon, too, so far. I expected them to be better, a little bit more dominant. So we can stay away from them. There's no need to get crazy.
A couple games. Let's see here. We didn't talk about Oklahoma. Goes to USC, and that's a game that
UCLA.
UCLA. That's a game I like. Man, UCLA, they're just down and out. I saw something the other day said they're the youngest team in college football right now as far as guys on the field. So obviously Chip Kelly's really trying to turn this over from the ground up, but that's not going to help him too much against Oklahoma right now. They haven't been able to score. They had a hard time scoring against Cincinnati, and also against San Diego State, they only put up 14 points as well. Oklahoma's defense is not very good, but I think they're good enough to hold them down, and their offense is just so good. Offense will put up 50 points. I don't know that UCLA can get to 20. I really like Oklahoma in this.
Yeah, I guess it's another one. You don't need to twist my arm on this one either. I think Jalen Hurts, again, is going to kind of put on a little bit of a show. And he's, I think he has a chip on his shoulder, kind of say, hey, I'm not this stink and dunk guy that's going to run the ball. He's going to have to air it out and show what he can do with his arm. I'm not a Chip Kelly fan. And I don't know what he's doing with UCLA, actually. Coming on, and especially after what happened with Cincinnati last week, that just shows how bad UCLA may be. Cincinnati didn't really play well. It was Ohio State, but I don't think UCLA is really any good. And I agree with you. So you're looking at a 50, you know, 50-21 type score, and that's definitely going to cover the 23. So that's not a that's an easy one for me too.
Looking outside the top 25, Webb, you see some games that you like out there?
We talked earlier. I want to say Colorado and Air Force, maybe. Let me see if I can pull that.
I think the Buffaloes. They beat Colorado State in a real tough inter-rivalry game, but then they had a nice win last week against Nebraska in overtime. I think Nebraska. You know, a lot of people had high hopes for them, and then they go into Colorado and get beat. I think Colorado's laying maybe four or five points.
Four and a half I got here.
There you go. I like that as well.
I think I do, too. I'm a little the line scares me a little bit. I'm not sure what Air Force has done. Colorado always seems to be solid. And, again, that was a good win for them last week. And even that Colorado State win is a good win. They're decent, too, and that's a pretty big rivalry. 4.5 is low enough, and it is showing Air Force, I guess, a little respect at least. I'll go Colorado too. Yeah, I got that one written down here.
All right, we'll keep it in the Armed Forces too. I know me and you have liked taking Navy in the past. That offense they run, just seems to wear on teams, wear on them.
Yeah.
It makes the game a little shorter. It wears on the defense. It helps out their defense. They're laying 7 to East Carolina at home. I kind of feel pretty good about them. What do you think?
I think this might be. I mean, you know, as a more, I think East Carolina is down. I mean, they're kind of, you know, they're an okay program. Navy at home. I'm not sure. This is maybe. I'm not sure if it's a conference game or not. But Navy's good. Navy and Army actually are both good, I think. And this is kind of one that Navy, you know, once in a while I'm sure they want to flex their muscles here a little bit too. And maybe this is a chance that they can kind of really put a hurting on somebody and you know, get the boys jacked up. So I this one I think is, you know, I'm hesitant to say I really like it, but Navy for sure minus the 7.
All right, so that pretty much rounds out our college plays. Let's run them down real fast and make sure we didn't forget anything. But on Friday night, we like BC and Houston. We also like on Saturday, we like UCF and BYU. Did you want to put Ohio State in with that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, and then I'm even gonna budge a little bit since you've given me a little leeway here, and we'll go ahead and take the Longhorns laying the big points, even though I'm against that a little bit. I'll go on record saying against that, but we're a team. We're going to get this done. Okay, so we got UCF, BYU.
Ride or die.
Yeah, man, we're brothers, man. We get it done. And under 50 from Florida. But you know that what's going to happen next week if that doesn't work out for you. This won't be the last we talk about Rice in Texas. I guarantee that. All right, so under 50 into Florida. We got Virginia laying the points to Florida State. And we got Oklahoma, Colorado, and Navy. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. That sound right? All right, so that's 11 college games for the week.
Yep.
All right. All right, let's move right on to the pros. We did say we lean in towards Carolina, laying the points. I kind of wouldn't mind going with the underdog in the division on that one, but I'm going to let that go and take Carolina in the under. And then we'll go straight into Sunday. There's a few games that I like, and we can just move right on into that.
Kick us off, man.
All right, so we're going to go right to the noon Central Time start, 1 o'clock Eastern. 49ers looked pretty good against the Bucks last week.
They did not look good, 49ers.
All right, well, they won. They got the W. I'm leading into something here, man. I'm leading into something.
Sorry.
The Bengals. I'm setting it up. This is called setting it up.
Tee it up, baby.
The Bengals looked pretty good, I thought, even though they lost in the road game against Seattle last week. Bengals go home. The 49ers, it's a lot of travel. First two games on the road, going all the way to Tampa, all the way back home, and then back to Cincinnati. I like the Bengals in this one. They're laying just about 2 points or something like that right now.
Yep, minus two. This looks fairly. I think we're all waiting. You know, even anyone who has any pause here, you're thinking Garofalo is going to do something. He's got it. The next thing he does is going to be the first thing he does. So he did not play last week. He threw a pick six, and then Jameis, I think, threw two pick sixes. So the Niners, they do have some talent on defense, particularly the defensive line. I don't know who else really they have aside from Garoppolo. Shanahan is unproven as a head coach, to say the least. But Zach Taylor, again, you got a first-year head coach with the Bengals as well. But they played well. I'm sure they're happy that they're positive, you know, very much a lot of positivity coming through them after last week. They should have, could have, would have won that game in Seattle. Difficult place to win. Bengals at home here for sure.
Okay, I like that. Two teams that went to overtime last week, Chargers and the Lions. Man, you know, the Lions were all over them early, and then comes back on them. They go to overtime. Nothing can get done. They go to a tie in opening week of the season. Chargers were all over the Colts early. They kind of let them back in the game, and then they took it over in overtime. I don't have a big feel about this one.
I do not either. I think Hunter Henry, I think, is the tight end. I think he's out for the season. I heard something today. So what is patella or something? So that's two pretty. I mean, Derwin James is huge on defense for them, and this is another one. And then just throw in that Gordon's not there either. That's just a lot to overcome. Not that I think Detroit's anything at all, but just we'll pass on this one.
Right. Big game in the NFC North. Both teams looked pretty good last week. The Vikings go to the Packers. Green Bay's favored by 3. Total and that one looks like it's about 44.5.
44. I got 44. Yeah, 3 and 44. Yeah, this is a good game. Again, no real lean here. If I had to, I'd take the Packers just based on the fact that it's home and it's Minnesota playing outdoors. I don't think the Vikings are as good as they looked last week. I do think they are good, but I don't think they're that good. And I think the Packers defense in particular is going to play good again. And Rodgers is going to have it a little more figured out in terms of the offense. I think the running game will be a little bit better, and I think they may stick with it a little bit more. And that Bears defense is good as well. The Packers played last week. No real lean here, but if I had to, I'd go I'd take the 3. I'd lay the 3, rather. I'd take the home team.
All right. Any thoughts on the total? This is 44.5. That seems a little bit loaded. Sometimes these teams can get after each other a little bit and score. Maybe if Rodgers gets rolling a little bit. I don't know what your thoughts on that.
I don't have a feeling one way. I'd lean towards the under just based on the defenses of both. And I think Rodgers is trying, or at least LaFleur is trying to dial him down a little bit to start the game, let him at least hand the ball off a little bit more, you know, and rely on that running game a little bit more. So, but I don't have a feel really.
Okay, so we disagree on that one. So we'll move on. The Colts, after a tough, like mentioned, went on the road last week, tough overtime game. Now they're going on the road again to Tennessee. Tennessee obviously looked pretty stout defensively in that game against Cleveland. I really like Tennessee in this one -3.
Divisional home game, small spread, you know, low spread. I think Tennessee would be the play. I mean, everyone's probably rooting for the Colts just off of, you know, the thing with Luck or whatever. They're a good team still, and Brissett's decent. The Titans still, I'm still not 100% sold, but it's not going to take too much to convince me to go with the Titans -3 at home here.
Okay, here's the convince that we're going with the Titans this week. We're going with the Titans this week.
That's fair enough.
All right. We mentioned this is the biggest home dog since.
What do you think about the under there? 44.5.
I don't know, man. I hate unders. I hate unders. You can sit there, man. We had the under with Carolina and the Rams last week. Yeah. By about halftime, I think they had about 13 points scored, and then they just collusion. Both teams went,
yeah,
went crazy.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. Fair enough.
I'm not against all unders. I just this game's a toss up to me as far as the total goes.
Fair enough.
Patriots go to the Dolphins. This, like we said, is the biggest home dog since 2007.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably not going to do anything here. If I had to, I'd take the Patriots. I think it's actually a safe bet, as funny as it sounds, and as hard as it's going to be to, you know, to hit enter on that pick or say that, you know, New England -19. But I think they cover, but I'm going to pass.
Right. No doubt. There's no way that you, like we mentioned earlier, we talked earlier, there's no way that you take the Dolphins.
Right.
You can't possibly take the Dolphins.
I agree with that.
So
for sure.
Your choice is to lay 19 points or just wait. So
right.
We're going to move on.
A
team that went to New York, New Jersey last week and came home with a victory. The Bills, I thought, looked pretty good. They turned the ball over 4 times, but they moved the ball pretty well, I thought. They played good D. The Giants, obviously, they have issues. They're going to be better than they were last year. They walked into a buzzsaw in Dallas last week and didn't really have a chance. But they're going back home this week. What do you think about this game?
I have no feel for this. I think the Giants, I'm not sure how bad their defense is. This week, I think, will tell us. I'm going to wait a week on I think, both these teams at this point. I didn't think the Bills would turn the ball over 4 times and win is rare. I'm going to pass on this. I'm going to punt on both the game and the total.
Okay. I actually like the Bills in this one. I think their defense is pretty good. I think their offense, I think this is an up-and-coming team. But we'll see if they think can win 2 road games in a row. That'd be
right.
Pretty tough ask from a team
right.
That probably hasn't won 2 road games in a row in quite a while that I can remember. So we'll put those off on the side and see how many we end up with. Two teams that struggled this, well, Hey, the Seahawks won. Steelers obviously look terrible on national TV. I love when that happens. Seahawks are getting 4.5 points in Pittsburgh this week. What do you think about that one?
It's minus four I have here through the site. This is a tough game. I think that number's kind of it's right where it is. I don't know how bad the Steelers are on offense, and I don't know how bad the how bad the Steelers are on offense and how bad the Seahawks are on our defense. This is another two teams I think I'm going to wait a week and see. I don't know what the Steelers have in terms of offensive firepower. We talked about this a little bit off the air. Connor is not what he was, and I was never that big on Juju Schuster anyways. The other guy, Washington, is decent, but I don't know. But then again, the Seattle secondary got kind of pummeled late there in another game. So I'm going to pass on this one.
All right. I think the Steelers really ran into a buzzsaw. I think a lot of teams would have, I don't think everybody would have lost 30-3 in New England the other night, but I think a lot of teams would have looked pretty bad. I saw a stat the other day that said the Steelers under Tomlin have lost by 20 or more points 8 times since, you know, that was their 8th time the other night. They're 6-1 following those games under Tomlin. So I really like the Steelers. This line is kind of weird to me. I would think that after the Seattle won and the Steelers look so bad that maybe the Steelers would be favored by 3 or something. The fact that it's a little higher, I kind of like. I think the Steelers...
Well, that goes in our favor. You follow the line for sure. I mean, they're telling us something there. I mean, I don't have any problem with the Steelers. You want to twist my arm in this one, that's fine.
That's what I mean. I'm going to twist your arm in this one. I like the Steelers and Tomlin. But I tell you, Big Ben, he looked big and slow and old. I have a feeling he's the same mentality as Andrew Luck, but he just doesn't have the balls to pull the trigger and retire at this point. But like I say, one game is one game, and I think the Steelers bounce back at home.
How many times have they beaten? They can't beat the Patriots. So that's another, right. You know, not making an excuse for them, but this is another little bit more ammunition in our gun for taking them this week, I think. Seattle, again, this is a kind of another one of these teams. Let's see what they're made of and see if they're going to be as good as they're predicted and as good as what we think they're going to be. Right. But I am a Pete Carroll fan, so.
Yeah, you've let that know. Chad Arnold has some issues with that as well. Just so you know, he said that really made him laugh. That was the funniest thing we've said so far on the show, is that one day you said Pete Carroll's one of the top 5 coaches, undisputed. So just to let you know what's going on there. You got to get yourself on Facebook, Web, so you can answer these people yourself. I got to answer your shit. You have fan mail. You have fan mail on
that's right.
Our shit.
It's hate mail, fan mail.
It's the thin
line. Any publicity is good publicity,
right.
Smith.
I know about that. I'm all about that. All right, moving on. The NFC East.
As long as Chad does on YouTube, make sure he subscribes, hits the thumbs up, and does the notification. All right, Chad, do me a favor.
He's checking us out on, I think he's on Spotify or something like that.
That's cool.
But he hits us up with messages on Facebook. That's why I got some swag going out as well. He's taking an active participant in this show, so that's good. That's what we want. We want people out there commenting, letting us know.
Absolutely.
If you think Weber's an asshole, just tell us. It's fine with me.
Line up.
Yeah, it won't be the first time. So NFC East, got the Cowboys and the Skins. What do you think about your boys?
Oh, man, these are always tough. I mean, the Redskins, what's his name? Your boy Geis from LSU is out, right? The running back. I don't know who they have. That was a crazy play. Vernon Davis did. He jumped over to the Eagle guy and ran it in for a touchdown. Case Keenum is on his, 10th team for a reason. I'm not trying to knock him. His bank account is doing just fine. I just don't know what they have on offense, the Redskins, and their defense is good. I'm not going to kind of expect particularly their defensive line, but the Cowboys' offensive line is best in the league. I'm not going to play this. I don't know really sure what I would do if I had to. I may consider an under again here, another punch myself in the balls for 3 hours, but I'm passing on this game completely. I'll leave this one up to you.
All right, fair enough. If we had to take it, I would take the Cowboys just because that's the obvious choice at this point. The Cowboys looked so good that last week, but that's the shit that gets you in trouble. If you weigh too much into one game in the NFL, whether it's good or bad, and that'll be an issue. Certainly, I think a lot of people will be jumping on the Cowboys, laying less than a touchdown in this one. But on the road, man, if I had to pick, I would pick the Cowboys. But let's just see what else we end up with.
The Cardinals defense will play well this week.
Cardinals travel to the Ravens. Ravens are laying a couple touchdowns there, 13.5. That's a big spread. You don't know if the Ravens looked amazing because they played the Dolphins last week or if they looked amazing because they are amazing so far. So what do you think about that one?
They're not amazing. They're definitely not amazing. I'm pretty sure about that. The Cardinals, I'm not saying they're not going to cover this. That's a big number, 13 points. It's funny. One of the things that struck me, too, he looks tiny back there, Kyler Murray, man. He looks small, dude.
Yeah, yep.
I'm not trying to knock him, just making an observation. This is a game, I don't know. It's 1 o'clock. We got a couple games here already. I'm going to punt on this if I had to. I think the Cardinals suck, so if I had to, I'd take Baltimore in this one. They're not going to – it's not going to be a situation where they get up and give it back in this for sure. And you may see this is fortunate, too. This may be what they needed to get Lamar Jackson some real confidence going against Miami. And then these guys this week, he could be right behind Brady or whoever for front runner for MVP after week two. So if I had to, Baltimore, but I think we could pass.
Yep, we could pass on that. Jaguars go to Houston. Houston's laying 9 points to the Jags. Obviously, Foles is out. And the Jags got beat up pretty good against Kansas City last week, and we know what happened to the Texans. That was a tough loss. They looked pretty good at times, but also they gave up the big plays in the end, so I don't know what you think about that.
This is another tough one, 9 points. I think the Texans certainly win the game, division game. I'm not the biggest Nick Foles fan. Obviously, you can't disparage what he did with the Eagles, but he kind of caught lightning in a bottle. It's almost like watch out what you wish for when he left. The Jaguars' defense, I do think, is for real, despite what happened last week. It's a tough game. I don't know what the Texans' defense really is. DeSean Jackson showed me a lot. That touchdown pass he threw there late in the game when he got hit was something, especially in the dome there. I still almost feel bad for him. They still got no one blocking for him. The guy Tunsil is supposed to be a stud out left tackle. One of your boys just ran right past him and pummeled Deshaun there. So, it's difficult. I'm not trying to hem and haw here. If I had to, I'd lay the 9, I guess, even though I'm sure the odds are against that happening. But I would lay the 9 if I had to.
Yeah, I'm staying away from this one. And the thing about Watson is, man, like you said, he just takes a beating. He takes a beating every week. I was there in the dome. Even the play he ran in for the touchdown, man, it took him forever to get up. He took a hit. Man, I just don't see this dude making it through the season. I'm not taking anything away from him. I think he's an excellent, excellent player, man. It's not easy to play in a dome and to put up 30-some points or whatever it was last week. It's obviously a great, great game. And to come back like he did was amazing. He makes plays with his feet. He was constantly pulling himself up off the ground, constantly getting hit. Just a tough kid, but I don't see him making it through. Unfortunately, it'd be tough for him to make it through another season the way. We have a few of the late games that we talked about that we like. Obviously, the Raiders looked great last week, but I think that was playing for the Super Bowl. They wanted to show everybody that this Antonio Brown thing really means nothing to them, and so they can play without him. Kansas City goes to town, laying a touchdown, maybe 7.5, and I really like Kansas City in this one. I think Oakland played over their heads last week, national TV at home and all that kind of stuff. I like Kansas City in this one.
I mean, that was almost like an HBO, movie last week, right?
Hard knocks.
Yeah. So I didn't, aside from having the Broncos, I wasn't too upset with the Raiders coming out in there and doing that, just to kind of put it in Antonio Brown's face. But what's his name? Tyreek Hill is out for this game. I don't know that it's going to matter. I don't see the Raiders having, too much talent. That guy Williams did look good, the wide receiver. But there's no way they're going to be able to run with the Chiefs, even though the Chiefs' defense being probably as bad as it is going to be. It's just – there's no way they can keep up at that point. It's only a 7. You just got to beat them by one touchdown. This is another one that's I'm thinking it's kind of easy too. For sure.
Right. What do you think about the over in this as well? It's 50, sitting at about 53. That Jacobs, the running back, the rookie from Alabama, looked really good for the Raiders. I think maybe, and the Chiefs, they even, as much as they looked good against Jaguars, even against the backup quarterback in the second half, they gave up a lot of points and yards, I think, in that game. You think this game could go over, be high score?
I mean, that's a great point. It amazes me how the Chiefs, the Chiefs tried, I think. I mean, they tried to get some defensive players. They brought in your boy down there, Badger, and then they got Frank Clark, and I think they signed somebody else on the defensive line too. But they can't even stop that guy. What's his name? Musgrave or whatever his name is. Muskrat was scoring touchdowns on him. That's a good point. I mean, I think the Chiefs are going to score 30, 35. Can the Raiders get to 21? Can they score 3 times? So that's a decent.
I think they can against the Chiefs.
Right.
So let's go. Let's say KC and the over in that one. Moving on, Bears offense looked awful the other night. Obviously, the Broncos offense didn't look too hot either. Going to Mile High, Bears laying about 2.5 points to the Broncos. You got a feel for this one?
It's tough. The Bears are fair, but this is another one of the teams we mentioned that both of these teams kind of need to do something here real quick. The Bears, if you know one of those teams, either Minnesota or Green Bay, is going to be 2-0. If it's Green Bay, they're 2-0 with a win over the Bears. And then the Broncos, obviously, we don't see Kansas City losing this one. Either actually Kansas City or Oakland, but I don't think Oakland's a real threat. So this is real important, as important as a Week 2 game could be. I am not high on the Broncos, but I'm not high on the Bears, especially off the offense last year. That's another team I don't know how they're going to score the points. Basically, I have one outside receiver and nothing else. This is a tough one, man. If I had to, I guess I would take the home team plus the points in the altitude, maybe.
I'll tell you, that's how I feel. The Bears, we know they're going to play great defense.
Yep.
I think the Broncos walked into a way tougher game than anybody thought they'd be walking into last week. Like I said, I think Oakland played like it was their Super Bowl last week. I don't think they're going to play that kind of way every week. I kind of had high hopes for the Broncos this year going in. Obviously, that's diminished a little bit after the first week. But I'm thinking that they bounce. I'd like a home dog in this one, to be honest.
This was the time. I mean, this is going to be your week. That's fine. But I would punt on this one. I would punt.
All right. We'll move on and see how many we got. We got the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, we know how crazy that game was Monday night. We talked about it. Go to the Rams. They had a tough game. They came out with the win at Carolina. And I know how I feel about this game. What about you?
At risk of being not allowed to do the podcast anymore. I don't know. The Saints, obviously they look good. I was clutch late. But the Rams at home, I think they've kind of had this game a little bit circled after the Super Bowl loss. They want to kind of prove that whole referee debacle wasn't anything. I'm going to punt here.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think the Rams laying only 2.5 are in good shape in this one. The Saints, while they pulled out the victory last week, they didn't impress me too much. I thought the offense only got 3 points in the first half. They obviously got it going in the second half. Houston went up and down the field on the defense whenever they needed to. I think that happens. It just seems like the Saints D, whenever this happens, their defense has improved over what it was in other times. But when teams really have to move the ball, they figure out a way to do it. Saints just don't have enough help in the secondary. They got a couple good corners. I think Apple's okay. And obviously, Lattimore is one of the better ones in the league. But their nickel D, stuff like that, they just have a hard time covering when they have to. You know, when they really get down to it. I think the Rams had a tough road trip last week, but they came home with the win. And I think I like the Rams laying less than if you get the Rams at home laying less than a field goal. I think that's a pretty solid play.
Yeah, you know what? It's hearing you talk more and more, I think the defense, right? It did disappoint me too. The Saints D, in particular, the defensive line, the pass rush. And the Rams, what scares me too, I believe the Saints center is a rookie, right?
Yep.
And then Aaron Donald is the baddest man around. So, as I think about and hearing you talk, the Rams are going to move the ball for sure. Only scoring 3 points at home opener in the dome. The Rams for sure -2. Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Right. And then not only to mention that, something I touched on earlier in the season, obviously early on about Drew Brees and the deep, I'm not even going to say old or losing it or whatever, but just talking about him and the deep ball. Obviously he played a great game. He came back, he brought him back, all that kind of stuff last week. But I only remember off the top of my head one deep pass that was thrown. It was late in the game to Ted Ginn, kind of on the hash mark down the middle. It wasn't to the outside. It was when he really had to do it. And it was really a wide open guy and Brees had a wide open pocket. I think it makes the offense of the Saints really predictable. Mm-hmm. And that's going to come back and bite him on the butt at some point. Obviously, the dude knows everything there is to know about playing the game. He knows everything there is to know about what the defense is going to do. He knows, that couple pass plays he had on that last drive, they only had to be 10, 15-yard passes. That's perfect for his game. But as the season goes on, teams are going to realize that more and more, and it's going to be difficult. That happened down the stretch last year. The Saints offense sputtered a lot down the stretch and in the playoffs. And obviously, it's just a fact of life right now that Drew Brees is going to have trouble getting the ball downfield, and it makes their offense a little more predictable. Obviously, Kamara's amazing. You can't take away from him. He's impossible to tackle, almost seems like sometimes. But I like the Rams in this one, -2.5.
I mean, you make some good points about the Saints. I was curious. I mean, what did the tight end do? You were talking about Cook on past episodes. I didn't see him do much, did he? I mean, I certainly could have missed it.
Yeah, I think he had a couple of first down grabs. I know he had one big one at one point. Only a couple though that I can remember off the top. But, you know, it's different when you're watching the game in the dome. Sometimes it's hard to pick up all the stats. But I'll tell you what though, he's a serious looking dude on the field. Like he is going to be a help for them, and he was a big target. You know, you can see it. You know, when you look with the eye test.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around forever.
Yeah, right.
But he always gets hurt too, man.
This was the first time I seen him, you know, in pads on the field and all that kind of stuff. And he's the real deal. He's a big, strong dude. He had two catches for 37 yards. One of them was a 31-yard catch. I'm just looking at right now, just so you know. But I think that'll be a. But I think he was hurt.
He's always hurt. That's the thing.
The last couple weeks of preseason. So I don't think Breeze got to work with him quite as much as that they would like to.
He's
going to be an asset. He's going to be an asset.
He's got to stay healthy. I would agree with you if he stays healthy. Obviously, Kamara and Thomas are great, but it seems like they almost don't have, you know, and now your third option there is going to be Ted Ginn Jr., who's I mean, he's probably older, almost as old as Breeze. So, I mean, the Saints, it's funny to say that, but they're with Kamara, Breeze, and Michael Thomas, they don't have that many weapons, it doesn't seem like to me. So that's another thing. It's not like a shootout team like it used to be. I think
Cook is going to be a big asset for them. And actually, Tre'Quan Smith, who's in his now third year, I think, he had a touchdown pass this past week, when Breeze rolled out a little bit. So I think they have enough. I think they were really covering Thomas a lot, and he still had a buck 20.
So in the second half,
they just realized, listen, we got to go to Ginn and these other guys, and that's why Ginn had a buck 20 as well. So he started spreading it around a little bit. So we'll see. Going into Sunday night, your Falcons, the Eagles, you two of your favorite teams in the world there. You got the Philadelphia Eagles.
My boy, go
to the Falcons. Yeah.
What do you think about this? I mean, this is make or break for Atlanta if they come in here and if the Eagles manhandle them, or even the Eagles win this game, again, the Falcons are going to be in some trouble. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of, you know, the media and all that stuff jumping on them. I wasn't the only one who thought they were going to be good this year, but this is almost a gut check game for them. I don't think the Eagles looked too impressive. They do have talent, I think, you know, across the board, offensive line. Bunch of receivers. I'm not so sure about the running game. And then the defense is good. Maybe not the secondary, but certainly defensive line. I'm going to go with the Falcons just based off of the fact I don't think that they played. They're not as bad as they look. They're home in the dome, Eagles on the road. I'm kind of almost backed into a corner. But I think the Falcons kind of are going to not shock somebody, but play better than they have and get this W.
Well, let me just ask you this. You just said you're almost backed into a corner. Are you picking the Falcons because you picked them to be in the Super Bowl, or because of anything you've seen so far this year on film or on tape?
They lost their left, one of the rookie offensive linemen, yep, which is going to be big for them. So that's really what's giving me my pause. I'm basing it on, I thought they were going to be good, and I'm going to stick with my initial feelings. I did not look good, obviously, last week, which I was surprised. But losing to Minnesota is no disgrace. But the way they lost is the problem. And I think the Eagles didn't look too good. Obviously, they might be a little better. But playing in that dome, this is almost going to be a Super Bowl playoff game for Atlanta. So just based off my preseason thoughts about the team in general, I'm going to stick with the Falcons.
Man, I disagree with you on this one. Quite a bit.
We watched
the Falcons. We took the Falcons a couple times in preseason, and
yes,
I remember one time, you know, it was one of those games, maybe the third preseason game where the starters play a bunch, and we had Matt Ryan, and he played almost the entire first half. I forget who they were playing. He didn't score. They didn't do anything offensively. That's just carried over. I really thought the Falcons were going to come around and do something better this year as well, but so far I see nothing. And
nope.
I don't think and this Atlanta is not that big of a home field advantage, I don't feel. The fans there just when I think of places that are tough to play, the Atlanta dome just doesn't it's just not one for me.
And I think the Eagles
struggled early. That happens a lot of teams early on in the first game, and I think they'll even play better than they did last week. I really like the Eagles in this one. We can lay. Well, it's a Sunday night game. We're gonna have to get to the bottom of this and figure it out.
The eye test. What we saw. We can go with the Eagles. That's fine. I'll give it up to you.
All right. Fair enough. And I think we both agree about the Monday night game. You want to take that one from here? The Browns go to the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, just based off the kicker. I mean, not even to be, you know, glib about it. But, yeah, the guy, they can't kick. They can't kick extra points and they can't kick field goals. So that's a huge disadvantage. This is going to be interesting, too, because whichever team loses, there's going to be a big backlash. They're already talking about this guy Gase here. He's yelling, screaming, blaming the receivers, blaming his coaches for the loss. They should have won the game in the fourth quarter, which is accurate. But I'm not sure you should start throwing people under the bus, you know, Sunday night of week one, especially in New York. I stack them up. Jets have no kicker, and to stack up the teams, the Browns are just more talented. And again, I'm surprised by their defense. If they have another 10 penalties. That's another conversation, and then they're going to be calling for what's his Freddie Kitchens head too. But I think the Browns win this game.
All right, fair enough. I'm all with you on that. The Jets just look terrible, and they're already starting to. It sounds like they're having like inner strife in the team and some drama building up. And you got a young coach. That stuff should be nipped in the bud right away. You can't be pointing fingers after one game. Obviously, it was an ugly game. We all saw what happened, and they had opportunities to win, and they just kind of gave the game away. But that doesn't mean you start out right away and start pointing fingers and all that kind of stuff.
You've got to go the other way.
The head coach's job. Yeah, the head coach's job is to take the sword. Yeah. Really? Hey, I'm responsible for everything that happens in this building. And then you let the other guys work. That's the whole point, right?
Jump on that grenade. Don't light it. They had that big thing when he ousted the GM too. So this is like completely his show, and he seems just to be a complete hothead, which is, you know, interesting. But if they, you know, even if they're up and they can't somehow blow it again like last week, that's even going to be worse. But that's apples to apples. I think the Browns are better. And then you throw in the Jets, literally signed a kicker, you know, yesterday.
Right.
And it's, you know, wind does get windy up there in the Meadowlands too. So I think the Browns wouldn't get that done.
Right. I agree. We're going against the one of the oldest gambling rules of the book, the home dog on Monday night. But we're going to go with the Browns. I just think they're better. I think they're better than what they showed the other day. And they got something to prove. And all that we talked about, the personalities in the Browns locker room. Obviously, you know, it's going to be yet to be seen how that all turns out. But I think they'll bounce back after last week's loss. And I think they're just a better team all in all than the Jets. I had kind of high hopes for the Jets this year. But, man, they looked like a struggling team.
Sunday. Again, it just seems like, yeah, they got some talented guys, but it just seems like the franchise, the organization is just always, it's always something, man. Anything but football.
Right. Right. All right. So let's look at the NFL games we picked this week. We're running out of time here. This is a long one this week. Maybe we'll cut this down into two next week, but we'll see. So we got on Thursday night, we got Carolina and the under.
Yep.
On Sunday, we got the Bengals, the Titans. We laid off the Bills, correct?
Correct.
All right. Steelers, we got Kansas City and the over. We got the Broncos, the Rams, the Browns, and the Eagles. That sound right?
Yep. That's it.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So that's 11 pro, and I forget how many we said for college.
11. But, 11. 11 right. and 11, baby.
Hey, man, I think that's good all day, baby. We got to get back in this competition. Nice 8-3, 9-2 each day.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
That would get us right back in action, and we'll see how it goes. Webb, good talking to you. Want to say goodbye to everybody?
Bye, everybody. Thanks so much. Go Cowboys.
All right, everybody. Thanks. Keep the emails coming in. That's thewagermakers@gmail.com. Make sure to give Weber as much shit. Tell him to get on the Facebook because you got a lot of people reaching out. We got memes on there. We got funny stories on there. A lot of people reaching out and letting us know what they think. Let him chime in. You can let him chime in and let me know. And then take Devin's advice also. And if you're going to be on YouTube, make sure you subscribe and
all that kind of stuff. Hit the thumbs up and hit the bell so you get your notification. Anytime we do anything, you'll get notified. Tell your friends, subscribe.
That's right. And follow us on Twitter at The Wager Makers, Instagram, The Wager Makers, and Facebook, The Wager Makers Podcast. And thank you again, John Groh. Hey, check us out on iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play Music, Podbean, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, all those things. You can check out our picks at sportswatchmonitor.com. You can also buy some of our picks off there. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Webb, later, bro.
Thanks, brother. Good week.